Now we take you on site to a building that is all about the miniature. A four-room wooden house in the inner Brisbane suburb of Kelvin Grove. It was built at the turn of the 20th century and is now, after 100 years, getting a makeover of a rather unexpected kind. The walls and tiny rooms are being kept, and the dunny has been taken back outside with two small cubicles clipped onto the side veranda. Why, you might ask? In an era of the open-plan house and the essential en suite, this renovation might make you think, and we'd love to hear your thoughts about whether we should keep more walls and whether we should really rethink the position and size of the bathroom and toilet. Should they go back outside? Today, Stuart Vokes, one of the emerging Brisbane architectural firm Owen and Vokes, is at the building site. The house is currently under construction with By Design's Jan Ryan.
I'm with Stuart Vokes. Obviously, the original house was nowadays too small to live in, is that right?
Yeah, this project's definitely an exercise in miniature, and surprisingly, the project only yields an extra 20 square metres of extension, which for an extension project is actually quite small.
And what would that be, 20 square metres, a big bedroom?
For our projects, it's a large bedroom, I think.
Now, I'm looking in and it's, oh my God, I mean, everybody listening to this will know this. There's a hallway in the middle, a little wooden walls and rooms off the hallway, a couple of what would have been bedrooms in the old days.
That's right.
And then at the back, perhaps a kitchen off the back veranda and a bathroom off the back veranda. And it's essentially still the same. Let's go in.
As one of the strategies for keeping this project small, we thought, well, what if we were to embody the qualities of being on the veranda in this beautiful garden setting within an interior space? Therefore, we wouldn't have to increase the actual footprint of the building and begin to build into this great garden, which is so rare to find.
One of the things you've done, which is tremendous in Queensland, and perhaps it could work in other climates as well, is that you've put an outdoor fire just off the kitchen, so that can be for sitting around in winter or for cooking and things like that.
That's right.
That's part of the garden, theoretically, or is that part of the house?
I think it's both, and it sounds like a cliche, this sort of idea that we might blur those thresholds between interior and exterior, but when you think about the element of the fireplace, there's a thermal component to the fireplace, but there's also a highly visual component. So it's part of the experience of the interior, and yet you get this really lovely informal way of reclining next to the fireplace on these what will be brick stairs that climb back up to the terrace here.
Underneath the tree.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Let's go a little further in here, because this is a house with walls rather than a house without walls. A lot of people are doing open plan. That seems to be the style of the moment. Open up and share the space and everybody in the one space, all activities. You are going a little bit the opposite way here. So why?
I think over the last 8 years of making houses for our clients, we slowly came to realise that walls were actually our ally. And it was walls that actually allowed us to control or produce certain characters within rooms.
Let's go to one and see.
If we go into one of the original rooms here at the front corner.
This one?
That's right.
This would have been a bedroom.
A bedroom. Well, it could be a bedroom, and that's possible simply because we retained its original walls, I think. And there was a lot of pressure, I suppose, or there would be in a normal project, to actually demolish the wall. I'll just take off this tape here. But the story for this room is that it will be occupied with a dining table and dining chairs and a sideboard. With this,
and it's tiny.
Well, it is tiny, but in fact, if we put a table in here, we could fit a 3 metre long table in here and occupy this with eight people.
You're saying, to make it a tight fit, but that brings people together?
Well, if you make a true study of occupation in each room and how a room might be furnished, you begin to realise you need less space than you would have thought.
Now, you have cut a hole, though, in the wall here, and it's like a little stable doors.
This is about climatic tuning, I suppose. So in summer, when this room does receive a lot of light and unbearable heat in the late afternoon, that we can actually relieve it thermally by opening up these panels and actually induce this great cross-ventilation through the house. There are going to be a whole range of events that occur in this house, and some of those events might actually require a volume that is visually much larger, and using walls as a device to manipulate the character of a room.
I'm Jan Ryan, and this is By Design on ABC Radio National, and I'm with architect Stuart Vokes. We're in a little four-room house, what was originally a four-room house in Kelvin Grove in Brisbane. Stuart, one of the really interesting things is the width or depth of a wall.
Well, Jan, in fact, this wall that we're standing next to now is actually only, in the door threshold, it appears to be 100 mils wide, but in fact, the wall depth itself is only 19 mils thick, which is the original hoop pine solid timber board that's used to construct the wall.
It's a single layer of wood.
That's right, and these are actually a structural component of the building.
Does it matter how thick a wall is?
Having grown up in Brisbane and building buildings in Brisbane, we're constantly searching for depth within our buildings, and you can witness that in the way that Brisbane architects are prone to layering their facades as a way of managing the climate. So you might end up with screens and louvers and overhangs which enable this kind of composition of depth within the building. But we search for kind of a more literal depth within the walls, because there's this beautiful idea about a kind of robustness or a timelessness about, a permanence about a thicker wall. It's almost a kind of an emotional or a psychological response to the depth of a wall. Whereas these 19 mil walls evoke this sort of sense of the temporal, or that maybe it isn't going to be here tomorrow. But at the same time, there is something quite fantastic about this idea that you're living in a cardboard box or a kind of a cubby house.
And perhaps these are things that culturally we take on, but it's not till someone tells us that your culture has thick walls or thin walls that you start to understand how you live and, you know, how you understand your spaces.
And what I thought was really telling was that we were in Melbourne having a conversation with a Portuguese architect, Manuel Aras Mateus, and I was describing the thickness of the walls in the buildings that we live in, and I was using this sort of pinch gesture between my index finger and thumb, describing the thickness of our walls. And he had his own kind of measuring stick, which was stretching his thumb and his pinky out and then stepping his fingers across the wall to describe how thick the walls were in Portugal.
But of course he's probably using stone.
Yeah, definitely, he's using masonry.
Mm. And therein lies the difference. Stuart, one of the other really fascinating things you've done in this little house is that you've taken the dunny outside. For a long time, just as we opened up spaces, everybody brought the toilet and everything right inside. So you had to go to the toilet right next to the bed or right next to the dining room table. So you've gone back outside. Can we go outside?
Yeah, well, we can go through the kitchen. Because
let's go through the kitchen.
The whole idea about the kitchen is that you have to step down from the original cottage down onto the kitchen floor, which is paved in brickwork.
But look, here we are on a really, oh gosh, this brings back memories, an old-fashioned veranda. The bedroom had doors that come out onto the veranda, and I guess in the old days people probably sat out here, or there was an extra bed out here to sleep in the afternoon, or uncle came to stay and the kids stayed in a back bed. But now it's become bathroom.
There are two bathrooms.
So and that what do you do in here? You go down a set of stairs.
Yeah, into this little sunken bath.
Tiny sunken bath.
Which hasn't received its skylight yet.
Oh, I see.
So it'll
be flooded
in light. Yeah. Right. So we always put skylights over our showers so that you have that event of kind of showering in water that is given this whole extra sort of life through the sun that sort of pierces the water droplets.
But it's very, dare I say, glamorous.
Yes, it is. Even though it's only 900 wide.
It's tiny.
And we'll just push this window open.
That's very private.
Yeah, it's a sneaky little window that actually gives them oblique views down through the valley and across to other people's gardens whilst maintaining some great privacy. So
lots of breezeways happening everywhere. It's all designed for the breeze to work.
Well, this whole idea about reoccupying the veranda was that we really wanted to retain its principal purpose as a place of circulation. So what we've actually been able to reintroduce into this plan diagram is an ability to circumnavigate the core. So there's this wonderful thing about arrangement between the bedrooms, then the breezeway, and then this working wall of wet areas, which allows anyone to access any of the facilities. So I've always disliked this sort of idea that there might be two or three toilets in a house. But at least one of them is accessed via someone's private bedroom. And I kind of like this idea that if you're going to pay for two toilets and invest in all of those things, that you make them publicly accessible.
And here you've got this beautiful breezeway, and you're going to be able to lock this off so in summertime you can actually have the veranda open and the bathrooms will be clean and fresh and the air will still circulate.
We'd really like to kind of be really poetic about this idea about living off the veranda and, you know, and imagining a world without crime and imagining a city that actually doesn't get cold, but in fact I'm freezing right now.
It's cold.
Even though this whole space is conceptualised as a breezeway and there's this narrative about leaving the bedroom and passing through the old French doors back on to the veranda to be able to go to the toilet, I think all of that still has to be done within a sort of greater level of amenity and comfort than what was achieved 100 years ago. Here are the doors that really shut this breezeway down. They're glass, they're solid, they keep the rain out, they keep the cold air out. It's a really wonderful thing.
It is. I know it's the middle of winter and we're standing here in our coats, but
you can only imagine it, right?
Yes, but it doesn't feel cold. I mean, in my mind it doesn't feel cold, even though we're shaking a tiny bit. Stuart, it's a great inspiration. Thank you for showing By Design around this beautiful little house today.
Thank you, Jay.
The Brisbane architect Stuart Vokes with By Design's Jan Ryan. Links to the Owen and Vokes website at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. We also have an image of the house, which is still undergoing renovation. Our Radio National website is itself undergoing a renovation, so we can't provide picture galleries at the moment, I'm afraid. And on the firm's website, you can see houses which illustrate the ideas that Stuart Vokes was talking about, though perhaps are not on quite so small a scale. So what do you think? Should we bring back the wall? And should we take the dunny back outside? And if so, where outside? Clipped onto the side veranda, as in the case of this house, or somewhere else? Love to hear your thoughts on our website.